Now, while we're talking about doctrines that Baptists are just wrong on, let me just show you this in 1 Corinthians 11. I don't know why this came into my mind today, and I was thinking about this. And it's just, we need to understand that there's a lot of false doctrine that independent Baptists have. And most of it is found in their statement of faith. They have these statement of faiths, and they've enshrined them like they're scripture or something. Now, the statement of faith should be based on scripture, and as soon as scripture proves it wrong, it should be changed. But they have this attitude of like, we can't change the statement of faith unless we vote on it or something. I mean, let me show you what's wrong in most, virtually every statement of faith. And look, I'm just showing you this to let you understand. The Bible is the final authority, not a statement of faith, not Baptist doctrine. The Bible is, that's what it means to be a Baptist, that the Bible's our final authority. I'm going to show you something that's wrong in literally 99.9% of statement of faiths across America for independent Baptist churches. In fact, when they say, oh, we're Baptists, they make Baptists stand for things. An acronym of what it means to be a Baptist. And they say, you know, the B is usually for the born-again, baptized membership. Or you could say the B is for baptism by immersion. I've seen a few different versions of it. The A is for the autonomy of the local church. The P is for the priesthood of the believer. The T is for the two ordinances. The I is for, what's the I for again? Somebody, individual soul liberty. And then the S is for separation of church and state. And the T is for the two officers, the bishop and the deacon. You know, I've heard variations like that throughout my life. And my pastor back home in Sacramento in the church that I went to as a teenager, he added an S on the end, Baptists, soul winning. You know, I like that. But even one of those letters is a false doctrine because, and just hear me out. Two ordinances? What are the two ordinances? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, right? Okay, that's not biblical. Look down at the Bible right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let me just show you how utterly contrary to the Bible that statement is, that there are two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. Look down at your Bible in verse number 1, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, what's he praising him for? He said, I'm praising you because you remember me in all things, and I'm praising you because you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. That's what I'm praising them for. Then he gets into some things that they're doing wrong. And he talks about the issue of, you know, long hair on men and so forth. But jump down to verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one's hungry and another's drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So what did he say at the beginning of the chapter? Oh, I'm praising you because you kept the ordinances as I delivered them to you. And then 10 verses later, he says, you're screwing up the Lord's Supper and I praise you not in that. So how is the Lord's Supper an ordinance? Can somebody explain that to me? I mean, somebody explain that to me. He just flat out said, the ordinances are what you're doing right. 10 verses later, he says, the Lord's Supper, you got it all wrong. And I'm not going to praise you for that. But then people turn around and say, oh, the ordinances, that's the Lord's Supper and baptism. It's nonsense. It's total nonsense. But people will just, oh, Pastor Harris is scaring me right now. He thinks everybody's wrong. Hey, look, if everybody's wrong, everybody's wrong. I don't care whether you think that's weird or not. The Bible said the ordinances was what they were being praised for doing. He's not going to turn around and condemn them and say, I praise you not. But you just praised us. You just praised us for keeping the ordinances. Look, there's so much stuff like that where you could show somebody that and it's clear as day and they just walk away and they just, well, I still just think there's two ordinances. You know, and there's a spirit of stubbornness today amongst the independent Baptists where they're just locked in to their traditions and their program, and they won't listen to clear scripture. They won't listen to clear exhortation. And it's pride and arrogance to think we never are wrong about anything. We can never be corrected. We can never change anything. Well, they're wrong about a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of bad people who've crept into the independent Baptist movement. It's not that the independent Baptist movement just slowly got watered down or soft. And you say, oh, why are you so down on the independent Baptist movement? You want to know why I'm down on it? Because I go up to Cibacue, Arizona, to the Apache Reservation, and I drive 3 hours with a group from our church to knock doors. And you know who's there also? Who was there, Brother Garrett? Who was there with us? Who'd we see? We saw the Jehovah's Witnesses. Who else did we see? We saw the Mormons. But you know who we didn't see? The stupid, lazy, worthless Baptists. That's who we didn't see. Even though, well, is there a Baptist church in Sholo, Arizona? Is there a Baptist church in Payson, Arizona? Is there a Baptist church in Lakeside, Arizona? Is there a Baptist church anywhere in that county? Is there a Baptist church in this state that would reach somebody with the gospel besides Faithful Word Baptist Church, driving 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, and these idiots want to sit around and criticize us and say, he didn't do the Lord's Supper the way. No, you're wrong on the Lord's Supper, and you're also letting the whole world go to hell with your stupid once-a-month soul-winning program. Once-a-month soul-winning, you let the whole world go to hell. And then they go out and give out a tract. A stupid door hanger in some rich part of Phoenix so they could get the tithing. You won't find them down in Sacaton, Arizona. You're not going to find them up in Cibacue, Arizona, because there's no money there. And then you know what? These fools, and listen to me, I'm sick of it. I'm taking the gloves off. You know what these bunch of dispensational idiots say? Oh, well, you're going to start a church in Cibacue now that you won those people to the Lord? Oh, you just got those people saved, and now they're just like sheep having no shepherd. Well, you know what? You're letting this whole stupid world go to hell. And then you have the gall to ask me, well, are you going to provide a church? Why don't you provide a church for them in Sholo, Arizona? There's already a Baptist church. I just wish it was worth a dime. And then it's our fault. We go down to these cities, we go to these Indian reservations, we go to these places, and we do the job that they're failing to do to give the gospel, and then they have the gall to say, well, are you going to plant a church there? Why don't you turn your stupid church around, and then we could tell them to go to your church if you'd quit preaching lies, if you'd quit preaching heresy, if you'd quit bringing in all these stupid fools like Sam Gipp to come tell everybody that Jesus is not supposed to be named Jesus. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why this world's going to hell. There's a reason why that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching all their lies and getting way more doors knocked than the Baptists, and why the Baptist churches are dropping the ball and failing in Arizona and all over America. There's a reason why, because they've been infiltrated by unsaved people. And I'm talking about the guy behind the pulpit. I'm saying a lot of these pastors are not even saved. And they've been planted there by the devil. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. These demonic deacons and demonic pastors and demonic evangelists and demonic missionaries have been put behind the pulpit to pervert everything about being a Baptist. And pervert the gospel, pervert doctrine. And they're running, and the people in the pew are following their lead. And most of the people in these independent Baptist churches in the pew, most of them are probably saved. But I believe that the guy behind the pulpit in many cases is literally a Judas Iscariot. Otherwise, how do you explain it? How do you explain this? Riddle me this. Sam Gibb gets up and preaches, oh, when Jesus Christ returns, no one's going to call him Jesus. Show me one church on his whole preaching schedule. The guy's preaching in a different church every week. Not one has rebuked him. Not even one. Not even one. We called all of them. Brother Baker called all of them, emailed them all. I personally emailed them all. We're contacting them, we're calling them and saying, explain this. Can you explain to me why you have this guy come preach at your church and he gets up and says that the angel told Joseph to name the baby Emmanuel and that he disobeyed and named it Jesus? Can you explain that to me? And you know what they say? You're a doo-doo head. It's what they said, friend. Not one single person, not one of them. Baker, correct me if I'm wrong. Did you get a call this afternoon? Not even one has said, here's why Sam Gibb's right. Not even one. Not even one said, well, here's where the Bible says Sam Gibb's right. None. Because you'd have to be an idiot to think that Jesus was not supposed to be named Jesus when the angel gave him that name before he was even conceived in the womb, Luke 2:21. Not one. And then, you know, I'm so sick of people saying, oh, why do you keep harping on Sam Gibb? You're so childish. You're so childish, back and forth between pastors. He's not a pastor. He's a demon. He's of the devil. And you know what? I'm starting to think that the churches that he preaches in, that those pastors are demonic too. Because otherwise, why would they bring this in? Why would they sit there and just say, you're wicked, Stephen Anderson. You're a liar. You're a false accuser. When I'm providing the sermon. Here's the proof. Here's the evidence. They provide nothing. And you know, I'm sick of all these little baby Christians, but they're like, oh, let's stop fighting. Yeah. Hey, listen, Brother Rodney King, why don't you shut up and let a man of God fight a battle in our generation? Amen. You know, I'm not going to let this country be taken over by these bunch of phony Baptist fools. Half their congregation agrees with us. These idiots need to be thrown out of the pulpit, and they need to get an actually born-again man of God behind the pulpit who knows the name of Jesus and knows Bible doctrine and who actually gives a rip about unsaved people who are dying and going to hell all over Arizona and all over America. Amen. Bunch of idiots want to pick us apart. Bunch of losers. Amen. Bunch of failures. Huh? I said failures. You know what? Any church that scales back soul winning to once a month is a joke and a social club, and it's ridiculous, and they're playing games, and they're playing church. And any church that only goes soul winning twice a month or once a month, I promise you it's a door hanger. I promise you it's a tract. Why don't you come up to me after the service and explain to me why Mormons do more soul winning than Baptists? Can somebody come up and explain to me why the Jehovah's False Witnesses are knocking more doors than Baptists? It's not because of people like me. You know what? If every pastor in America was like Stephen L. Anderson, you know what? Every door would get knocked 20 times a year. Period. And you can say whatever you want about your stupid Israel. And you know what? Nuts to stupid Israel. To hell with them. They hate Jesus Christ. And if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha.
Amen.
Oh, Israel, our glory. No, Christ in you, the hope of glory, except Christ isn't in you because you're an unsaved false prophet.